What's up, headbangers and riff junkies? You're listening to The Rock Pod, and today's episode is going to hit harder than a steel-toed boot to the face. We're diving full force into the blood, sweat, and guitar-shredding glory of one of the most ferocious metal bands to ever walk this earth, Pantera. From hair metal beginnings to redefining heavy metal with groove-laden brutality, Pantera's rise wasn't smooth. It was sweaty, loud, and packed with more chaos than a Texas bar fight at closing time. So tighten up your bandana, slam that volume knob to 11, and get ready to walk through the story of Pantera, cowboys from hell with a hell of a story. Welcome to The Rock Pod. Before they were laying waste to stages and festival fields, Pantera was just a family project started in Arlington, Texas. Brothers Vincent Abbott, a.k.a. Vinnie Paul, on drums, and Daryl Abbott, eventually known to the world as Dimebag Daryl, were born into music. Their dad, Jerry Abbott, was a country music producer, and their house might as well have been a jam room. The band started in 1981. But don't expect tales of early thrash brutality just yet. Pantera started off as a glam metal band. That's right. They were rocking spandex, big hair, and singing songs with titles like Metal Magic and Projects in the Jungle. Think more Dokken than Slayer. They released 4 albums in their glam phase with Terry Glaze on vocals. And honestly, they weren't bad. Just not what Pantera would become. Dimebag's talent was already leaking through, though. By age 16, he was shredding better than guys twice his age. Guitar magazines took notice. Dudes were showing up to their shows just to watch him. But glam was fading, and the Abbott brothers were getting antsy for something heavier. Rock Pod. Enter the hurricane that is Phil Anselmo, a New Orleans kid with a voice like a furnace and an attitude to match. He joined in 1986, and the transformation began. Phil was not a spandex guy. He was shirtless, tattooed, and snarling. His influence leaned heavier Black Sabbath, Slayer, hardcore punk. With him in the fold, Pantera started tightening their sound and ditching the glam. And in 1988, they released Power Metal, a transition album with more aggression, but still a hint of the old days. But the real game changer? Well, that came in 1990. Cowboys from Hell kicked down the door in 1990. It was mean. It was precise. It had groove. And it was the birth of modern groove metal. The band finally sounded like Pantera. Tracks like Domination, Primal, Concrete, Sledge, and the title track showed off Phil's bark, Vinny's thundering drums, and let's be honest, the absolute unholy power of Dimebag Daryl's guitar tone. This was their major label debut, and it announced to the world that a new force had arrived. Metal was evolving, and Pantera was at the helm. They hit the road with Judas Priest and quickly earned a rep as one of the most savage live acts in the world. Dimebag solos were like guitar-shaped sledgehammers, and the band had that Texas swagger that you just couldn't fake. Rock Pod. 1992. Vulgar Display of Power. Good Lord, what a record. This wasn't just heavy, it was visceral. The opening punch of Mouth for War, the thunder of A New Level, and the venom of effing hostile. And let's not forget Walk. 4 notes that could knock down a building. This album solidified Pantera as the most dangerous band in metal. They weren't doing speed metal. They weren't doing death metal. They were doing Pantera metal. Groove-based, chest-crunching heaviness. With heart, soul, and a sneer. Dimebag solos were somehow both precise and reckless. Phil was unfiltered rage. Vinny was a machine. Rex was the unsung glue holding it down. Backstage stories? Oh yeah, there's plenty. These dudes partied hard. Dimebag was known for his black tooth grin shots. Crown and Coke, heavy on the crown. They were wild, chaotic, and living it up, but still showing up to the stage on fire every night.
Rock Pod.
Next up came 1994's Far Beyond Driven, which debuted at number one on the Billboard charts. Yeah, let that sink in. An album this crushing, this aggressive, hit number one in the middle of the grunge explosion. Tracks like Becoming, I'm Broken, and 5 Minutes Alone were like sonic uppercuts. It was Pantera's heaviest, most punishing album, and it still had groove for days.
Time ago, I never knew myself.
But underneath the success, cracks were forming. Phil's substance abuse was growing. Touring nonstop was wearing them thin. Behind the scenes, tension was rising. The booze-fueled after-parties and offstage brawls were starting to catch up. And the press, they loved to stir the pot. Still, Pantera kept going. Next came 1996's The Great Southern Trendkill, a darker, more bitter record that reflected exactly where the band was at that time. Now, by the late 90s, things were rough. Phil's heroin addiction, internal rifts, side projects, and growing bitterness between band members led to the inevitable. Their final studio album, Reinventing Steel, in 2000, had flashes of brilliance. Revolution Is My Name still rips, but the chemistry was failing. Phil drifted toward Down and Superjoint Ritual. Communication between the Abbotts and Phil broke down completely. By 2003, it was over. Quietly, bitterly, Pantera was done. But the tragedy didn't stop there. In 2004, during a Damage Plan concert in Columbus, Ohio, Dimebag Darrell was shot and killed on stage. It sent a shockwave through the rock world. One of the most beloved guitarists in metal history, gone at just 38. His legacy, undeniable.
Rock Pod.
Pantera's influence is massive. Ask Lamb of God, Slipknot, Avenged Sevenfold, Dimebag's tone, Vinny's groove, Phil's ferocity. It shaped modern metal. Vinny went on with Hell Yeah until his passing in 2018. Phil eventually sobered up and began mending fences with fans and even the Abbott legacy in his own way. Then came the news. Pantera was returning, not as a full reunion, because you can't truly reunite without the Abbott brothers, but as a tribute. Zakk Wylde and Charlie Benante stepped in to join Phil and Rex for a celebration tour of Pantera's legacy in 2022 and 23. And guess what? Fans showed up in droves. It was raw. It was real. It was loud. Dime and Vinny would have been proud.
Rock Pod.
So what's the story of Pantera? It's the story of brothers, of sound and fury, of music that punched you in the face and dared you to say thank you. From spandex to strength beyond strength, they forged their own brutal, beautiful path. And even now, with Dime and Vinny gone, their thunder still echoes. All right, well, thanks for joining me on this wild ride through Pantera's history. If you dug this episode, crank up a little 5 Minutes Alone, pour yourself a black tooth grin, and head over to therockpod.com for more episodes, playlists, and rock and roll chaos. Until next time, I'm Jimmy, and this is The Rock Pod. If you like today's episode, smash that like button. Also, be sure to follow The Rock Pod so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes, and be sure to tell your friends about us. Want to show your support for The Rock Pod? Hit that donate button and buy us a cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Music by the band Silvertrip. Additional music in this episode: Walk, Revolution Is My Name, Cowboys from Hell, Becoming, and 5 Minutes Alone by Pantera.